going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Everybody! All right, folks, 11 a.m., enjoy responsibly. It's a Scotty's Vodka Red Bull Friday. Right now, time to get to the Rood guest hotline. Rood is the most reliable HVAC products in the DMV. Talk to our friend, Mr. Nick Baumgartner from The Athletic, covers the draft, works with Dane Brugler, does it all, man. Nick, what's up, dude? You get any sleep?
How are we doing, guys? Yeah, a little bit, like 4 hours. So I think we're doing okay, more or less. Yeah, on we go.
Yeah, I mean, it's about what we got to. We're not used to the burgundy gold picking so late, dude. It's a whole new world.
I know,
for
right?
Us. Dude,
I'll take it, though.
Adam Peters actually joked about it. He's like, man, these East Coast drafts go late because it's only his second draft
first
here.
First world problem now for Washington, yeah.
Well, last year he drafted second, so he didn't have to worry about it.
Right.
Exactly. Let's start at the top because we've been so focused on the Connerly pick. Ward going one was no surprise. What'd you make of the Cleveland-Jacksonville trade?
Yeah, I thought that was terrific, quite frankly. And, you know, we had a story in The Athletic this morning. Mike Silver wrote about how that was agreed to like 3 weeks ago, and they actually kept it pretty quiet all the way through. And more than that, though, I thought it was a home run for both teams. Jacksonville, you know, is closer talent-wise to being a competitive team that can get into the playoffs than I think people realize. And, you know, they obviously felt the need to, hey, we're going to go get the best player in this draft, make a splash, make that happen. I thought that was a good decision for them starting off a new regime like that. They get a phenomenal talent in Travis Hunter. And then on the flip side, I thought it was even better for the Browns to do that. I mean, there's not another team in the NFL that needs more draft picks right now than Cleveland. All the stuff that they missed, you know, during the Deshaun Watson mess. So it was a terrific, terrific trade, I thought, for both sides, and one of those rare ones that's kind of a slam dunk on either side. I don't know if you could say one team, you know, won it and one team lost it. I think both teams kind of won that one.
And then as you go further down here, what'd you make of Loveland going ahead of Tyler Warren in the the tight end situation? That one was the first kind of surprise to me.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was a much closer debate than a lot of people realized. You know, TE1 and tight end 2, and those guys were kind of neck and neck the whole way. But I do like how it worked out. I think that Loveland is a better fit for the Bears and what they want to do than Tyler Warren would be. You know, the biggest comp that you hear about Colson Loveland is kind of a taller version of Sam Laporta, who Ben Johnson obviously had there in Detroit, and, you know, they did such great things together for those 2 years. I think Loveland is a lot more like that than Warren is. And with how the Bears are going to run offense, they're going to use a lot of two tight ends, and they're going to let him run all over the place. I think that's a terrific fit for Chicago. And then at the same time, I think it worked out for Indy to get Tyler Warren. I mean, he is a Dallas Clark clone who everyone there, you know, should be very familiar with.
He wears the same number.
wears the same number and all that stuff, too. You know, I think they're going to use him more as a blocker. I think he's got a higher, you know, higher range there as a blocker too, a higher ceiling, we'll say. So it was a little bit weird, but also I don't think it shocked too many people in the league because, you know, the fit there made a lot of sense for both sides. And I don't think it would have made as much sense if you flipped it around.
That was a run of O-linemen and defensive linemen going last night. Do you see that continuing, or are you going to see some other positions begin to go in the early second round?
Yeah, I think you'll still see a lot of defensive linemen go. This was a terrific defensive tackle class, a pretty deep edge class also, and there's still some pretty good ones on the board. You know, Donovan Ezeraku is one that stands out, you know, towards the top of the draft here. But really, there's going to be a lot of defensive backs, I think. You know, Will Johnson is still on the board. Nick Emanwari is still on the board. Xavier Watts as well. There's a ton of good safeties, a bunch of really good corners. Siobhan Revel as well. So a lot of guys, you know, Johnson was, you know, 4 or 5 months ago a top 15 player in this draft, and injury concerns and everything else had him fall. So that could be terrific value for anybody there at the top of the second round. So I think a lot of defensive backs and defensive tackles we'll see today.
Siobhan played only 3 games last year, but still has high markings. How good would he be for somebody to get and then get him back healthy?
I think that would be a terrific pick. I mean, I think it would be great value for a guy that, you know, the thing about him is he played at a small school, right, obviously, and you said it. I mean, he only got to play the 3 games, and he just disappeared because he got hurt, and everybody kind of forgot, you know what I mean? Like, I think that sort of happens sometimes to those small school guys when they go out of sight, out of mind, and then you can't work out, you know, for the rest of the year because you're rehabbing. And so any questions that teams might have, you know, it goes away. But I think if you go back into his tape from 2 years ago or a year before last, it's outstanding. So if you can get him back to healthy again, you know, this is another one of those guys that kind of like the Josh Simmons kid from Ohio State, the tackle. Look, if he hadn't gotten hurt, he would have clearly been a top probably 20 player in this class and a guy that would have, you know, been great value. And somebody could get him at the bottom of the second round today, you know, or somewhere in there. That would be a terrific pick for them.
We're talking with Nick Baumgartner from The Athletic. You can give him a follow at Nick Baumgartner, Baumgardner. Nick joins us via the Rude Guest Hotline. I'm checking out. You already got analysis up on every pick from last night, looking ahead to who's available tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, there's so much going on and so many players still to come. It's so premature to try to grade to try to analyze a complete draft just on the first round because there's so much talent left, like you said. A couple specific picks from last night I wanted to ask you about because I still believe – there's going to be a lot of player trades to come. You know, I go back to it was day two of the draft when Trent Williams got traded. It didn't happen Thursday. It happened Friday. I'm looking at Shamar Stewart, Texas A&M edge rusher with all the tools and no production, and well, that's fine. Maybe he'll prove to be a really great pro. Goes to the Bengals at 17. What do you think about that pick, and what do you think that does for a guy like Trey Hendrickson?
Well, I think that's a great pick, and I think exactly for, you know, if you can put him opposite Henderson in a year like this and not ask him to be necessarily, you know, if they decide to keep him, you know, I guess one way or the other, but if you could put him opposite a star and not ask him to be the, you know, dominant edge as a rookie that is, you know, doing everything right away, because it is going to take some time for him to sort of round out his game. But I really like that pick a lot. I think that's kind of a developmental pick to a degree. Reminded me a lot of Rashawn Gary when he came out with Green Bay, where it was a little bit of a slow start, but it, you know, pretty quickly once he figured it out, he took off. I think that he's very similar in that vein. Like, he did not play his best football at Texas A&M that we're going to see in the NFL, and it's not because of lack of effort or anything else. It was just he's a raw prospect who was still sort of growing into his body, still trying to figure out, you know, more or less where he was best deployed, kind of on that defensive line. They also had a really deep defensive line at A&M, so he rotated a lot more than a lot of other guys that normally would. I think that could be a really high upside pick for a guy that went 17 overall that had top 10 traits in this class. Like, Stewart was one of the rare guys I felt like on the board, maybe among 12 to 10 guys that probably had true first-round grades, just because, you know, 40-inch vert at 6'5", 270, 4'5", 940, I think it was, just elite length, everything else. Like, there's not a single Trayvon Walker, Rashawn Gary. That's what he reminds me of, like a blend of those two guys. Mm. Both of those guys needed a little bit of time, but in time, they made it work. And I think that Shamar, you know, you saw him on the stage last night, too. He looked pretty ticked off, quite frankly. So I think he's ready to go. And that seemed like it was a good sign to me. And I think if he listens to coaching and takes it well, he could be a really, really good player here pretty soon.
I think that's something a lot of those guys can learn. You know, you may not have gone where you thought you would go, but you still get the opportunity to go on the team, and you can open up some eyes once you get there.
Absolutely. I mean, a guy like that, especially, let it motivate you, right? Like, let it, you know, you went out to the combine and you killed it. And I think for a guy like that, you're probably also frustrated that people didn't get to see everything that maybe you think you have in a heavy rotation in college. So, you know, I love it when guys enter the league ready to prove something and ready to prove to everybody who passed on them that that was a mistake. And I think he's one of those kids.
And then specific to, all right, so they draft an edge rusher here. It was my understanding leaving owners meetings in Florida that the Bengals didn't really plan on or want to trade Hendrickson, and that they were going to just get to training camp and see if he would actually really hold out. Have you heard anything different there? Do you think drafting Stewart impacts a Hendrickson trade?
I don't know. I don't know if it would or wouldn't, because, again, like we said, I don't think you can bring Shamar Stewart in and say, okay, he's going to replace Trey Henderson tomorrow.
Yeah, he's going to get 17 sacks.
Yeah, that's not realistic. So I think that if I'm the Bengals, and I think that this is kind of what it's been, I think that they're probably still listening, and they'll probably continue to do that. But I think at this point, like you said, I mean, I think that they'll probably try to call his bluff and see what happens here. And if they make it work for another year or whatever it may be, you know, that might be what it is. But, yeah, I don't think that Stewart necessarily is that. Now, if they go and get another edge, you know, that would be, you know, later today or something. Maybe that's another conversation. But I don't think you can put Shamar in there immediately and just expect him to be, you know, a full-on replacement for what you're losing with Hendrickson. So they're going to have to be a little creative with that one. I don't know if that's a shot-for-shot replacement. I like the pairing, if they can make that work. I think that would be a great pairing. And in time, you absolutely could move on from Hendrickson and have another guy ready to go, and Shamar Stewart possibly.
Three skill position players. Abuka goes 19 to the Bucks. Hampton goes 22 to the Chargers. And then Matthew Golden, for the first time in 100 years, the Packers selected a wideout in the first round. Personally, I think Hampton with Harbaugh and the Chargers makes just the most sense. I'm curious, of those three skill position guys, which one you think is kind of the best pick, best fit, all of that?
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. I think Hampton to the Chargers was almost like a no-brainer. It felt they were on the phone with maybe Philly or somebody trying to, you know, that wanted to trade that pick, and they ended up just saying, no, we're going to stick here and take this guy. I think he's a terrific fit for everything Harbaugh does. I know a lot of people wondered if they would still go running back in this class because they drafted or they signed Najee Harris, but I think that that's actually a really good pairing. I think Hampton will be the one that's, you know, pretty quickly there. You know, he was a guy that in 2023 outperformed Ashton Jeanty. I mean, he was right there, you know, in terms of yards after contact, and he was the second highest guy in the country last year with missed tackles for. So he's a terrific player, three down weapon. I thought he was warranted of the first round grade that a lot of teams had on him, and a guy that should fit everything that Harbaugh wants to do. The other two guys there, I love Egbuka and I love Matthew Golden. And I think it's cool that Green Bay finally took a receiver. But I did feel like that might have been a little overkill in both of those spots. Like, Tampa still needs a ton on defense. I was a little surprised to see them go receiver there with everything else they have. And same kind of thing with Green Bay. They, you know, they could use another receiver, but they already have some guys. So, you know, I think that both those teams want to score points. They want to spread the ball around. You look at both their coaches, that's what they're all about. And I think that they're really good fits. It was just kind of one of those things that did surprise me a little bit because I thought maybe they would go a different direction.
Do you think that was the pick because Watson stays hurt?
Could be. You know, it could be. And I think Golden is one of those guys that in a division like the North there for the Packers, and I think they said it on one of the broadcasts last night, like you need to score points in that division. Like everybody in that division has an offense, including Chicago, who will be much better, you know, once Caleb continues to grow with Ben Johnson. So you have to be able to score and score quickly, and it can't just be, you know, long drive after long drive. And I think that, you know, that was one thing Green Bay didn't quite have. And Golden, is, you know, for some people, he was the best receiver in the class. Some people had him ahead of Tet McMillan just because of the ridiculous speed and ability to win in the air that he has. So very exciting player and very young as well.
All right. The Giants trade up for a quarterback. It's Jackson Dart, not Shedeur Sanders. I think for folks that have been paying attention the last week, 2 weeks, that kind of became what most people thought would happen if there was a trade up. Still, I think there was some surprise when Pittsburgh passed on Sanders. And then I think to the larger football audience that maybe isn't as involved in the granular day-to-day of the draft, there was real shock that New York took Dart ahead of Sanders. What was your surprise level, and what do you make of that big move by Big Blue?
Yeah, not really surprised at all. It really did seem like you said, I mean, they've gone over all this stuff as exhaustive as you could possibly do it. They met with Sanders a ton. They met with all these guys a ton, the Giants, that is. And at the end of the day, none of it made sense to me that he was going to be a fit with the Giants for a number of different reasons, certainly not at three. And then the other part of it, too, that is a factor here is Deion and all of the media attention that they create around him, fair or not, right or wrong, whatever you want to call it. I don't think that was going to go well with Brian Daboll and Joe Shane, two guys that are on the hot seat trying to make it work. I think that it's to a degree they you know, looked at this set and said, hey, we think him and Dart are pretty close. It's going to be a lot less drama with Jackson Dart, fair or not. And I think that might have been the tiebreaker. Like, I was surprised that Pittsburgh didn't do it. And I almost wonder if a team like that would try to make a move to go get him today, because I'm not so sure that Cleveland will do it at the top. I mean, I picked him, or I mocked him there at the top of the draft, but it wouldn't surprise me if they don't do it either. Because I do think that there's something to be said about you're going to need to have a very strong personality as a head coach. Like, I think the Jets could do it with Aaron Glenn. Like, a guy that Deion is going to respect and leave him alone, because I like Shedeur Sanders. I think he's a good player. I think he could turn into a functioning starter in this league. But if his dad is going to be involved in all this other stuff that they just refuse to stop is going to be a thing, then nobody wants any part of it, especially teams that don't have a strong personality leading the franchise. That's why the Steelers have made so much sense to a lot of people, because Tomlin's just not going to deal with that. And everybody knows it. And I think Deion would probably back off if Tomlin told him to back off. You know what I'm saying? So I like his fit with teams like that, teams that have some talent that they can work with him and give him some time and not rush him. But I hated his fit with teams that are still kind of directionless and don't have a lot of talent and are kind of weak at the top. It would have been a total nightmare. So I think the NFL kind of got it right with him. He did not help himself. His people didn't help him. He did not help himself over the past 4 months, not working out, skipping the Shrine Bowl, sort of acting like he was above it all. That's not what anybody wants from a quarterback in the NFL, no matter who your dad is.
It's going to be really interesting with Shedeur, because the NFL, above all else, is a self-preservation league. And I think for the Giants, man, Shane and Daboll are watching, or they're protecting their neck. And
but they better win now.
I know. That's the other part.
I mean, like, do what you want to do, but if you don't win now, you're gone for sure.
The part people ignore is that, yo, what if Shedeur comes in and just helps you win? And then everything's a lot easier. It's going to be really interesting to watch. Let's talk your opinion on Connerly. Washington takes a big tackle prospect at the end of the first round. There's a lot of excitement around him. Clearly, their offensive line got better with the addition. What'd you make of it?
I think that's great value where they got him. You know what I mean? I think that was there were some tackles that went above him that I did not have Kelvin Banks above him. I think he's a really, really good football player with a lot of a future ahead of him, I think is really what it is. Because he's still got some rawness to his game, but there's really not a better athlete, like a full-on athlete at tackle right now in this draft than Connerly. I think he might be the best overall athlete. If you watch him move, if you watch how he bends, everything else, like, it's just nothing but, you know, you get him in around an NFL offensive line coach and really, you know, get to work. I think he could iron out a lot of the technique issues and the consistency issues that come and go with him. But once he finds his rhythm and figures it out in the NFL. Like, I think he could be a left tackle or a right tackle. I mean, shoot, I think if you needed him to play guard, he could do it. Like, he's a very versatile, very quick and athletic and explosive and all the things that you look for in a guy with the good length and all that stuff too. So Connerly was a polarizing kid for a lot of people this year because, you know, a lot of teams, I think, at the top of the board would have loved to be in on him, but it's kind of like, can we wait, you know, on a tackle? Can we hide him? You know, can we get away with that? But a team like Washington, I think they probably can. And I think that, like you said, their offensive line definitely got better. And I think he's got the ability to be a guy who starts for a long time.
What do you think Washington lean to today?
I like them going on defensive line, maybe an edge, maybe a defensive tackle. You know, the one thing with them last year that stung more than anything, it seemed to be, was run defense. And I feel like they've got an opportunity here now that they got the tackle address that they can, you know, attack that defensive front position. But also, wouldn't rule out a receiver. I feel like another offensive weapon for Daniels could also be really cool here. Like, there's some explosive guys out there, even a running back maybe, if you wanted to go that way, a guy who could move around a little bit. So I would start with the front, but it wouldn't shock me if they try to take a playmaker as well.
Yeah, man, I'm kind of looking at Ezeraku, Oladejo, mm-hmm. Higgins.
Oladejo, I like him, yeah.
Higgins and Caleb Johnson are guys they had in the building for these top 30 visits. And the more we start to learn about this Adam Peters-led front office, they seem to really like these top 30 visits. It's not always going to work,
yeah,
but a lot of them did. Connerly was here, you know?
Yep. Yeah, I think that Oladejo would be a great fit. I also think Higgins, too. Like, that would be a really good compliment there for Jaden.
First QB off the board tonight.
Yeah, I do think it's Shadur. I don't know if it'll be Cleveland at the top of the second, but I do think he's the next guy off. I think that, like I said for a long time, I think he was closer to Jackson Dart than he was to Cam Ward, and I think it's kind of splitting hairs with those two. So I think he's QB3, and then I think Milroe won't be too far off, or Tyler Shuck as well, I think, will be in there behind. But I think we'll see more quarterbacks go today because I think those guys are all solid players. Like, that's the thing. It's just not a bad quarterback class. It's just not an elite one. And I think that that's what we'll probably end up seeing today.
Nick, thanks for the time,
appreciate
man.
You,
really appreciate it, dude.
Absolutely. You bet, fellas. Anytime.
All right. Nick Baumgartner from The Athletic. Give him a follow at Nick Baumgartner. Joining us via the Rude Guest Hotline. We're going to open these phone lines up. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. What do you think of the Commanders going tackle in round one? And what do you want to see tonight?
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The revolution redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.